The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Ammunition for the Republican Party, rats in Denver, Wednesday morning, October 27, 2021, 710 KNUS Weather Center weather, 58. It's cold outside this morning. Priscilla comes in dressed for winter, 63 and sunny on Thursday, and here comes Trick or Treat weekend. Please say good morning and welcome back. And first of all, I got to tell you, on the line with us is Christy Burton Brown. Christy, I admire you for coming on the radio show. Thank you very much, and welcome back to the show one more time. Good morning to you. And to Priscilla, it's good to have you. Yeah, no, really good to have you on. Some things that happen on the show, and so I admire you. It shows me a lot that you're coming on the show. And Priscilla, you look dressed for winter. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What does it say on your shirt?
Coffee. That's
I got to begin.
That's what I'm drinking.
I know. Everybody's got. I'm like a cup and a half a day, and after that, it'll wire me up, and I won't be able to sleep for 3 years. I got to begin, you guys. This story, and it's really a lot more serious than, you know, we were making light of it. But this story about the rats, Christy, did you see this story that Denver, Colorado, and I think it's ammo for the Republican Party, that now Denver, Colorado is the ninth rattiest city in America today? Can you imagine?
You know, I have not seen that yet, but it's not surprising with everything that, you know, the Democrats are doing to let Denver be destroyed.
Thank you.
It's embarrassing. Our beautiful city, everybody who talks about Colorado and Denver in particular have amazing things to say about it in the past. Mm. But presently, we're living in this infestation, and the Democrats have control, and they need to do something about it.
You're both Colorado kids. Christy, could you ever imagine when you were a girl that Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City, would be a rat-infested, ninth most rat-infested city in America?
No. I mean, I drove into Colorado when I was 9 years old with my family. Yeah. We literally drove from Anchorage, Alaska to Highlands Ranch to move here. And we drove through Denver on the night the Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup for the very first time. That was the night I came to Colorado as a 9 year old. And that Denver is most certainly not the Denver of today. And it could have been prevented. This happened because of choices made by those in power.
Thank you.
It wasn't an accident.
Bingo. Priscilla.
Well, I actually was a child of a military family, so we moved around a lot. But I've never lived in a city that had this issue. I came as an adult because of how beautiful Colorado was and Denver in particular. So I'm really bothered by the situation right now.
Just for the folks in the audience, this is from Orchid. They released the 50 rattiest cities list. The top five cities didn't budge. Chicago has the top spot. But the thing that's pointed out, every one of these are democratically run cities, which is interesting. Chi-Town, L.A., New York, Washington, D.C., San Fran, Baltimore, Philly, Denver. I mean, I know you guys are, I mean, I'm always looking for ammo, too. But, boy, you know, because we're talking about, you know, how, and I think it was, Christy, I think it was you that said if you could get what percentage of Denver voters to come to the Republican Party, it's a win.
30% there you go. To vote with us in 2022.
Bingo. So, again, I think it's more ammunition. And this is a function, I think, of one of the variables is certainly homelessness. Because remember, you guys, when they closed Civic Center Park, why did they close it? Because of rats, right? And
yeah.
Priscilla, your thoughts? Yeah, I'm sorry. Go first. Christy, you go first. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. I mean, I just think you're absolutely right. This is an ongoing problem. And the things they think about doing to Denver are never things that make the city safer and healthier with less crime. And, you know, I mean, rats not only damage health and safety, they also hurt businesses. Like, who's going to come to Denver and patronize small businesses when they're worried about rats running around? It's just devastating on every front.
I was amazed. We ranked more ratty than Cleveland. I mean, more than Pittsburgh. I grew up there. More than Atlanta, more than I yellowed them out. More than Miami, more than St. Louis. You would think these are places. We have more rats than Flint, Michigan. Hang on. I mean, take a bow.
Well, it makes me wonder what the city officials are paying attention to. It's their job to keep the city safe. And I just hope the people that have read this article or who are listening to the show will pick up the phone or email their city council members and the mayor and say, we want you to take care of this problem.
And what do you think, Priscilla, will happen when that phone call is made?
Well, I mean, there has to be enough pressure, right? We know how this goes. You have to continue to talk about it as people who live in the city, who have real estate, who have, like Christy said, have businesses and who are invested. These people expect their elected officials to be invested and to care about the city and the future of the city.
Christy, your thoughts?
Oh, I think she's, you know, Priscilla's absolutely right. And as a Denver public school teacher, I mean, she's with the kids in the city every day. And I think a lot of times it's easy to view cities like Denver as just, hey, we don't want to go there. What a dirty, awful, unsafe city. We also have to remember the people who live there, the people whose kids go to school there, and realize that when we speak up, when we fight against this, and when we try to find solutions, we are doing it for these people who deserve it.
Both of these women are great. Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron, they run. They're the chairman and co-chair of the Republican Party. They're back with us. And this story pops up, and I saw it last night. I went, wait a minute. And we were making fun of it, but there's a serious, far more serious part of this. We had a guy on the moment ago who called the radio show. He's an exterminator. But you think to yourself, what an indicator. I would have never thought, and then I'll shut up, I would have never thought of Denver as a rat-infested city. You think New York, you think Detroit, you know, you think Pittsburgh. You don't think Denver. And yet here we are, number nine. Wow. There was a story that dropped yesterday, you guys, and it's what you're up against. Out-of-state donors, 67% of Michael Bennett's campaign donations come from outside. They're saying $6 million. All right, we start this time with Christy. How do you come up with money? It says Michael Bennett has raised more than $2 million in the third quarter of 2021, seeking a third term, has raked in $6.5 million this cycle. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and that U.S. Senate race is going to get, you know, very expensive, just like we saw the Gardner-Hickenlooper race. I mean, you know, 20, 30 more million on each side of that race. This is going to be an expensive race. Yes, do Democrats pour in outside money in Colorado all the time? That is what they do here. That is how they attempt to control the state. I think on our side, we have a very big field of Senate candidates right now. And, you know, that field will get narrowed down. And once our person is chosen, that's when more money usually comes in on our side. But I think what's interesting about Bennett's numbers, though, too, is if you look at how much that he's raising, he's also spending. He is spending a lot of money before the general election. The Democrats are huge spenders. If you ever compare what they raise to what they spend, they waste much more money than our Republican candidates typically do if you crunch those numbers.
Is he just trying to get out ahead? Because, you know, it's all...
You know, he has very bad name ID and very low approval rating. For someone who's been in office for 13 years, his name ID is low. Polls that come back constantly show him. People are like, who's Michael Bennett? So he has a lot of work to do that the typical senator who's been in office for that long doesn't have to do to build his name ID and help people know what in the world he's even done for them, which, you know, is actually nothing. So he's going to have a really tough time making up that ground.
Priscilla.
Sure. I think about the average voter who really never knows how much a candidate raises. They could care less about how much a candidate raises. They want to know what the candidate has done and what they're going to do. And this is a bad year for, this is going to be a bad election for Bennett because of so many things happening federally that he's just dropped the ball on and hasn't represented Colorado on the issues that matter to us. I don't think he represents my voice. So I don't care how much he raises. I'm looking for a candidate that's actually going to bring solutions, and I don't see him being that candidate. So he has no message for Colorado that's going to help him. He can throw his money around and his weight around, but he really has no record that we can that he can stand on.
You both think he's lucky he's not up this next month? I do. I was thinking about
goodness,
it last night.
Yes. Yes. This November would be absolutely awful for the Democrat Party nationally if their congressmen, senators, and Joe Biden were on the ballot.
What do you guys think is going to happen in Virginia? I have these two theories running. One is on the Denver, there's an amendment called 2B, which is this unbelievable expansion of taxpayer money to, quote, those experiencing homelessness, the unsheltered. And the other one is Virginia. And if Denver voters say no to 2B, and then we throw the rats in the game, and if Virginia voters bring in a Republican for governor, Christy, start with you again. Your thoughts about the Virginia race?
Yeah, it's been an amazingly interesting race to watch. I mean, clearly the Democrats are pulling out every stop because they know this is going to be a defining race as well. I mean, they have President Obama showing up, Biden with all the time he spends in Delaware and not doing his job.
That's right.
He can find the time to go to Virginia and campaign for the Democrat there. But, you know, if Youngkin can pull it off, which I think he can as a Republican in the race, it's going to be the first domino falling.
I agree. It's one to watch. No, I agree. Priscilla, same thing. If I was running that show, I'd keep Joe Biden out.
It seems like a circus. Yeah. Every time I've been watching who's been coming and who's been speaking.
Oh, yeah. Hollywood.
And they're like throwing something on the wall. Let's see if this sticks. So now Obama's talking about, you know, the Republicans are asking for IDs and they want to rig the election.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And people are not buying it. You should see the social media responses to the ridiculous attempts to see what's going to stick, because that's the sign of desperation on a campaign when they see the writing on the wall.
Well, that election thing has become the circus world for everybody now. So I wasn't shocked, but I thought it was interesting, back to Priscilla, they want Barack Obama there far more than they want Joe Biden. Don't you think so, Christy? Why would you bring in Obama? Why would you bring in Joe Biden? A guy's a kiss of
death. I mean, I think it is just desperation. To both of your point, they are literally pulling out every stop. Priscilla's right on that. They are trying everything they can throw at it to see what sticks. And I think, you know, they've seen that sometimes talking about election integrity, election fraud has been used, you know, on one side of the aisle to bring out their base.
Yep.
I mean, that's what they did when Hillary Clinton lost. That was their talking point.
Absolutely.
Now they're trying to bring it back so they can claim it for their base.
Yep.
You know, which just loses the trust of voters and actually downgrades transparency and accountability in elections.
Thank you.
That's what Obama's doing. And then they're throwing Biden in to be like, maybe people do care about the president. I mean, he won Virginia and it's not always a Democrat state. So they're just throwing everything at it. They're desperate. Their dominoes are going to start falling. And I think not only in Virginia, not only on the Denver ballot, but also in a lot of these local races around Colorado. Douglas School Board, watching the Aurora City Council race. There's a lot of dominoes that are going to start falling.
We're going to see a lot of in the aftermath of this pending. I agree with you. We're going to get a lot of indicators on school board elections. And they're kind of, that was the great lesson. And Priscilla's nodding her head, you win those seats, you know, commissioners and superintendents, and those are the things that are going to make the big difference. And I agree with you. I think if there was a run-up right now, I wonder if the state Democratic Party would bring in Joe Biden. Probably not.
I think right now, especially with the local school board races, what we're seeing, parents taking the authority back and really understanding their place and saying, hey, these are my children. You know, we loan them to you for 8 hours a day, but you better return them back to us in the same or better condition that we send them to you. And we can, like Michigan, I just read this, just passed in the Senate and the House, a bill to have money follow the child. and not into a system. And that is supporting parental choice, because we can no longer defend a government-run system that has created and continues to perpetuate the disparities in education. And so parents are going to be winning in this election this November.
Yeah. And when you put these together, Priscilla, when you guys, and you and Christy, I'll start back with Christy, there are these low-hanging fruit, I think they're called. I mean, going back to the rats, I mean, when I saw that thing about the rats last night, I went, whoa, you know, what a gift to people like you two who are trying to steer these elections. I mean, bring that into Denver. Like, you people are rat infested. My God, look who's been running the show now since. I mean, and every one of the, you know what's interesting? I don't know if I said it to you guys. Every one of these cities is run by Democrats on the rat list. Christy, does that shock you that they're all run by Democrats?
Well, no. I mean, it doesn't shock me at all. But I think, to your point, not all the voters know that. What our job is to tie these problems to the people who are in control.
Right.
And that's a narrative that Democrats cannot run from, because they have been in charge of Colorado for over
a decade now. That's right.
And all of these data points and all these health and safety issues that we can point to in Colorado, all the lack of affordability, whether they're talking about housing or groceries or gas, all can point to the Democrats in charge. And so that is our job. It's actually not a difficult one. Tie the problems to the Democrats who caused them, who created them, and who have allowed them to continue under their watch.
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, it's, you know, I think we all spoke one time, we're sitting together, and I came up with this had enough ... question mark. Because from top to bottom, it's the Democrats, isn't it? I mean, that's who's been in charge. Back to Romer, Pena, the list goes on.
Well, and I hope the voters, when they sit down and they really look at that ballot, and they have to make a decision on who they believe can do the job and do a better job than what they've been getting. And it's going to be up to the voters. We need them to make that decision.
Same thing.
And I'll say one other thing, too, Peter, that I think is really important for our candidates. And that is, as we are tying these problems to the Democrats, we also have to paint a very clear vision of what we would do differently.
There you go.
Like, people are tired of, and we talked about this before on the show, people are tired of all the complaining, all the critiquing, and it's valid when you have huge problems like this. It's got to be brought to light. But this is what Governor Owens did, the last Republican governor of Colorado, lay out a very clear 3-point vision on what he would do to make Colorado better, to help our families, our jobs, our opportunity to explore the American dream. Our candidates have to do that. They have to have an identifiable vision that people can understand and say, yes, I want that for my life. I want that for Colorado's future.
We've said it. I mean, this state has been run and operated by a handful of people who don't seem to matter, oftentimes knowing a little bit about how this works. They don't care about R's or D's. They care about power and control. Mm-hmm. And Priscilla, you're nodding your head, and I'm sure, Christy, you are too, that you have to say, and we've been over this too many times, but my imaginary family in North Glen, that, you know, a guy's car won't start, you know, his kid's sick, you know, his wife's mad at him or she's mad at her, whatever it is. And he's got to go to work, and his boss is a pain in the rear end, and he has to pay this much for gas, and the shelves are empty, and he knows what's going on, and he's the guy.
Peter.
Yes.
The City Council of Denver voted to take $5 million give $400. I mean, this is the most ridiculous, feckless use of taxpayer dollars when we have rats in the city. Why aren't they taking that $5 million and improving the conditions in the city of Denver?
Because they're getting a vote for it. You guarantee they're buying votes. In Chicago, that's a story for later in the morning or maybe tomorrow, but in Chicago, the guaranteed income. I mean, you know, and I know, Christy, you're a really bright woman. All you're doing is buying a vote. The mayor has come out and they're going to guarantee people's incomes. They're killing everybody in that city. It's the number one rat-infested city in America. It's the murder capital of the world. What are we going to do? We'll give everybody guaranteed income. What do you do? Yeah, sure. I mean, how do you overcome that stuff? Christy, how do you overcome that?
Well, I mean, you know, I think in some corners of the state, it takes more effort and time and consistency than others. But it really is, you know, money can be hard to beat. It's not impossible. And so it's accepting the fact that we can create a different narrative. We can get in those communities. We can have candidates who run offering something better. And we have to actually do the good old-fashioned hard work, I think, to get it done and really carefully shape our messaging, too, and not just do the old stuff we've always done.
So because of time, we'll start. Priscilla, what's the first next two or three things the party must do?
We have to get our message out. We have great candidates this election cycle and already who have thrown the hat in the ring for the next election cycle to talk about solutions with our commitment to Colorado and making sure that everybody that is a conservative or who cares about Colorado is talking about these points and saying we're living in a false economy right now.
We're not your father's Republican Party. You know, we're here. Same thing. And again, Priscilla, you guys are so terrific. Christy, means a lot that you're on the show. What are the first two things that you do?
Well, I mean, I will say that there's still a week before the local election. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we cannot, you know, forget to do in this last week is voter turnout's still low. We need to urge Republicans to get their votes in. We need to ask people to vote yes on Amendment 78, yes on Prop 120. Yeah. These are key issues that give us a chance to shape policy even while Democrats are in control. And we have voter guides posted on the Colorado GOP website that identify which are the candidates that you can vote for school board and city council and mayor that will really uphold these values that we're talking about. So that, I think, is still number one for the next week. And I 100% agree with Priscilla on messaging. We're going to offer like great messaging training opportunities for these amazing candidates we have popping up all over the state. Because we're going to speak with one voice as Republicans this election cycle so people can identify what we would do for them if we get elected.
Do me a favor. On the morning after the results are in on some of these, guys both do the radio show with me because I knew we were going to speak today and I was going over some stuff and I said, you know, we had ballot day Sunday. My family, we all sat down and talked and turned our votes in, ballots in. That's going to be a hell of a day. You're going to know a lot more. I mean, because right now we're talking in the wind, but you're going to know a lot more with results. And I keep coming back to 2B in Denver, which is the giveaway for homelessness. If that's defeated, and, you know, then you look at, you know, ammo up with this rat thing and all the craziness that's run this city and what Priscilla just said about giving, if you at a government employee, you get $400 for getting a vax. I mean, they're just buying votes. I mean, that's not Hancock because he's not that smart. That's the machine doing that. And we'll know so much more. I mean, we really will. And also that Virginia outcome. Priscilla, final comment. That Priscilla, the outcome in Virginia is going to be big, too, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I've been watching this. They're neck and neck, and it's going to come down to voter turnout. So I think the Republicans really see an opportunity here, and the Democrats are desperate. So we really do need to watch what's going on there.
Christy, last comment, and we'll get you back ASAP. Final comment.
I mean, let's apply that voter turnout that we need in Virginia here to Colorado as well. Like literally, it's too late to mail your ballots. Drop them off. Yeah. Find a drop box near you or go to a voting service center. And you also really need to vote yes on Prop 120. The blue book is lying to people. And I think people need to know that. 120 is a property tax cut for everyone. And we need to support it.
Final comment. Priscilla, final comment from you.
Well, voters, if you're listening, please vote. I mean, I think that's just the main message right now is like go on the websites, find out who's running. Please don't leave anything blank. We need everyone to be we need all hands on deck on this election.
No, have you had enough? Christy, it means a lot to me. You came on the show. Thank you. I'm going to put you on hold. Talk to Billy. I got our hold button. Billy is not. There it is. It's good. If you want to sit and wait, Jimmy Sangerberger's coming up more on Tay Anderson. So. Thank you to Priscilla and Christy Burton Brown. We have a turnaround coming, and Jimmy's done great work on this story. 710 KNOS. Good morning, anyone and everybody. When's the last time you referred somebody who really did a great service for you? Maybe as a restaurant, a financial planner, a plumber, got fixed your motorcycle. These are my realtors, Gay and Sarah, and the Ribble Group team with Keller Williams Realty DTC. Anybody who really needs the best real estate services in the area, Gay and Sarah are famous for finding the absolute best programs for you. So whether it's, I love all the stuff, the zero commission program where buyers pay for all of the commission, saving you thousands, the 24-hour cash offer programs, or how they guarantee to sell your home 100% of your list price, so they will pay you the difference. Gay and Sarah. And people ask me, I say, hey, man, the very, very best. You call them and find out how they can help build and find the best programs that work for you. Call them. The Ribble Group, 833-301-SOLD. 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. I don't care what your question is, buying or selling, 833-301-SOLD. Visit GayHasTheBuyers.com. She spells it. I know her. She's great. G-A-Y-E. GayHasTheBuyers.com. GayHasTheBuyers.com. Same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Speed my young life away. 28 after the hour, 7:28. I'm Peter Boyles. This is Radio Free Denver on a Wednesday. Christy had to go. Priscilla's sitting in studio. She wants to hear what Jimmy has to say. Please say good morning. And I've been saying this about him. Does a radio show here on the weekends, but he has made his bones, as they say, and got his button, as we say in a mob. He's really done great work. Jimmy Sangenberger is with us, and we always say this about stories like this. You've been living off of Tay Anderson. Hey, Jimmy, good morning, man. Thanks for coming back up on the show.
Hey, thanks, Peter. Well, there's just so much to work with. When I first started writing about Tay, actually it was last December I did my first article, and I never had any idea, never fathomed that there would be so much to work with. And honestly, it's very sad, but yes, there's a lot of material here.
All right, where do we begin again? This is like chapter five. It truly is.
It is. Well, I think the big top line, and we touched on this a little bit last Friday when I broke the story about, and then others in the media started covering it after I did, about DPS at-large board candidate Scott Esterman, who's running right now, one of five candidates for at-large in DPS. There's a revelation that I uncovered that Anderson, Tay Anderson, is being paid by Scott Esterman to manage his social media. This is something that began on August 15th under the auspices of Good Trouble Consulting, a trade name company that Tay Anderson established 3 days after the first $1,000 payment was made. And that was on August 18th. He established it. August 15th is the day that he got that first payment. By the way, Good Trouble Consulting, I think that the late Congressman John Lewis has got to be rolling over in his grave over that one. We remember get into good trouble, necessary trouble was common phrase he liked to say. But here's the top line, too, is that right now, and this is what my column for the Washington Examiner yesterday was about, trying to shine some national spotlight on this, is how we know now that Tay Anderson's tab is being picked up, at least in part, by Scott Esterman, paid for by the teachers union, also paid for by the teachers union via Scott Esterman, Tay's buddies, Hashim Coates and Tiffany Caudill. They are both co-managing Esterman's campaign and have worked for Tay's campaign, including Tiffany being the campaign manager. Again, all of this bankrolled by the teachers union.
And Jimmy Sangenberger's here. The piece is in the Washington Examiner, Colorado Teachers Union. We've said this before. I've said it many times. The way this works and is they hire their own boss or bosses. The union has so much stroke, and you uncovered and other people uncovered the union, even knowing the charges were there against Anderson, went ahead and lent him money, even though they knew, and we've been over this, Denver City Council never said a word, the district attorney never said anything, the mayor never said anything, the school board never said anything. All these people that are tasked with protecting children never said jack. And we actually found out, and I think it was your work, that the cops did their own investigation, and the district attorney wouldn't go near it. So he's a made guy. I've been over this too many times, but he's made, and nobody's going to touch him, and now you've taken it to another level. Again, what's next?
Well, first of all, they don't just hire their own boss. They're also now paying for their own boss, quite literally, which is a little bit of a new shakeup. Well, I think the biggest thing is for people to be aware of the newer revelations, and there is more to come, Peter. I mean, there are so many different aspects to this saga of Tay Anderson that have yet to be uncovered or that are being uncovered now that will be reported on. And it really is astounding when you think about it that he's only 23 years old, and yet he's built up this network and gotten so much support from a defense, from members of the school board that are his colleagues. You've got the teachers union component, so many elements here. But we were wondering for the longest time, how in the world is Tay Anderson paying his bills? Now, we definitely don't have a complete picture. This one only starts in mid-August, but now we at least know $5,000 of his money is coming from the teachers union via Scott Esserman's campaign.
And you also pointed out, we remember at the time, that he pulled that scam on the Denver cops in July of 2020, and he did a Ric Flair, and he was required hospital care. That was he was working. He was working that.
That GoFundMe, which raised over $13,000, was set up by his campaign manager Tiffany Cottle.
There you go.
Who is now co-managing Scott Esserman's campaign. Keep in mind, since Tay was hired to do social media management for Esserman, remember that the DPS report from the ILG Investigations Law Group investigators found that he abused social media in order to try and have encounters with teenage girls, and including a DPS student, and also used social media for purposes of intimidating witnesses during the investigation.
I said we were talking last time we talked. It's a circle jerk is what it is. And everybody takes care of everybody else, and the money passes, and the Colorado Teachers Union looks the other way. And it'd be like you and I and Billy, we get to hire our boss. And then we get to tell him what we want to do on the air after we do that. And
right.
and that's
right.
Yeah. So one of these things, again, I come back to Jimmy's just done incredible work with this. What does it say? You know, this morning there's a story, I don't know if you were up earlier or not, about rats in Denver. I don't know if you've seen this story. We are the ninth, honest to God, we are the ninth rattiest city in America. And every one of the cities, by the way, is run by Democrats, but Denver is now the ninth rattiest city, and they're going to give $400 to every city employee who's been vaxxed as a little gift, a little parting gift. But they're not doing anything about rats and homelessness and the insanity of Tay Anderson. Jimmy, what does that spell?
Well, what that tells you is that the politicians in Denver are simply doing what they can to benefit themselves.
Of course.
And they don't care about whether or not, and to the extreme for the rest of the state, like this is a problem of politicians that goes back millennia, since the dawn of time, where they're lining their own pockets, they're doing their own thing. But as far as Colorado's concerned, like Denver is the epicenter of this kind of stuff.
You bet.
And it breaks my heart when we're talking about kids, children, that are involved here, and even as students who learn about what's happening in the district. And there are so many problems, and Priscilla could certainly speak to this as a teacher, but there are so many problems with math and literacy in Denver public schools right now, as across the state. But really, there's such a spotlight that we need to be shining on the failure of the district in educating kids, especially with how they handled the COVID-19 pandemic and shutting down schools and the remote learning and the mask mandates, and the list goes on. And yet here we are talking about this circus, because we have to talk about the circus when we're discussing people who are actually leading the district.
Yeah, but again, to me, and Jimmy Sangenberger's here, and this piece is in the Examiner, when you go up to, 20,000 feet and look down, and someone like Tay Anderson were not one entity, with my understanding, an exception of a Denver police squad that did an investigation, and it was turned away by the district attorney. No one on the board, no one on city council, no one in the mayor's office, no manager of safety, no city attorney. And these are jobs that you are tasked with protecting children. The best of your knowledge, how many young women do you think he pursued?
Oh, I couldn't say. I mean, I really don't know.
More than one?
Any number. Well, yeah. In fact, we know that for a fact from the ILG report,
right,
from the two instances that they substantiated in the report. Plus, when we look at the kids from Never Again, Colorado, that he even admitted to, I mean, we're talking at least a half dozen there. And those are documented instances in the report. So let's say at least 8 or 9, young people over the past 4 years, which my guess, if you start with that number, it's reasonable to multiply it.
Yeah. I mean, it is an amazing story, but Tay Anderson will dance away. And in fact, is he not trying to lobby to get paid now for a volunteer job?
Yeah, well, there you go. Exactly right. So, by the way, I should have said that the union gave Scott Esserman $50,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not talking like they just gave him $5,000 and then they went to $50,000, and Esserman has turned around and paid $20,000 or so far to Tay Anderson, Hasheem Coates, and Tiffany Cotto. And that's important to keep it in mind. But when we look at his pay raise, or what, wanting to establish pay, there was legislation passed earlier this year in the legislature that for the first time would enable school board members to be paid, something that Tay lobbied for significantly,
sure,
but also Stephen Woodrow, state representative who Tiffany Caudill and Hasheem Coates both worked for, who's very close with Tay as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the leading advocates for this legislation to be passed. And now Tay is trying to get a measure approved in the school board to pay school board members $150 a day as a salary.
If it weren't true, one of those moments, nobody would make this up. And there's so many stories like this.
No, Peter, there's the TV show The Blacklist starring James Spader.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure there are listeners who watch the show. I've watched it since day one,
mm-hmm,
and it's back now, so it's on my mind. And it just reminds me of like a Blacklist plot, only in so many ways it's even more outlandish.
As a kid who grew up here, did you ever think of Denver as a rat-infested city?
Oh, no.
See? I brought this up this morning. Denver has made the 9th rattiest city in America list. And I'm thinking, you think a lot of, but never thought of Denver as a rat-infested city.
Well,
number nine on the list. It's amazing.
It is astounding is what it is, but it also goes to the heart of our good buddy, our colleague, Stephen Tubbs' film,
absolutely,
Denver in Decay.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely true. And by the way, if folks haven't watched that yet, they need to make sure they go onto YouTube, search Denver in Decay, and watch the film. It's from last year, and you think, okay, things couldn't get worse. Well, they definitely
got a lot worse.
Yeah. And I want to say $65,000 from the teachers union to Tay Anderson, $50,000 to Scott Esserman. Then you have all the funneling of the money among the same group of people here that we're talking about. And the school board is feckless. All they do is last month they wag their finger after this report comes out and say, you naughty boy, you shouldn't be trying to set up an encounter and flirt with teenage girls. But we're not going to do anything but wag our finger at you,
because
we still want to work with you, Tay. We don't think you should have to resign.
No.
Not all the school board members said that, but that was basically the message that came from the board, especially board president Kerry Olson, who's also the union endorsed candidate and has gotten tens of thousands of dollars in this campaign.
I told you, he's a made guy. I love mob stories, and he's a made guy. He's a good earner. He's got a future. You'll see the time. It'll be like when Don Corleone talked to his son, and he said, you'll see Congressman Corleone, Senator Corleone. Someday you'll see Councilman, and I think that day is coming, Councilman Anderson, Congressman Anderson, Representative Anderson, Senator Anderson. They see guys like him, and I'll give you the last comment, James. You've done a great job. Guys like him, what did they say? I'm a big Simpsons fan. When Chief Wiggum said, Krusty knows how to play ball. I mean, Krusty knows how to play ball. Tay knows how to play ball. They know how to play ball. And Tay is a willing participant. And so he's untouchable. He's a made guy. He's got his button. and they're not going to do anything about it. And it's a real tremendous insight to how the city operates, and it's ammunition for right-of-center people, conservative or Republican folks. It's like the rats. It's a gift. Take the last comment. You've done great work on this, Jim. I'm proud of you. Take the last comment.
Thank you, Peter. Well, another show I used to love was the show Monk, starring Tony Shalhoub. He used to talk about having a gift and a curse. And that's what I would say this is, because, well, there is so much to work with for those of us in the media who are actually interested in doing this, particularly on the right. It's a curse in that this is a guy that should not have anything to do with our government, especially with children in schools, and yet he remains there. And if we continue down the trajectory that you just described for Tay Anderson's future, it's all more reason why the public needs to be aware of all of these facets and why this job of exposing the saga of Tay Anderson and all of the other people involved in his network needs to continue.
Remember, Me Too never laid a glove on Michael Hancock. Have a good day.
Yes.
Jimmy, I'm so proud of your work. You take care of yourself, son. Thanks. Everybody.
Thank you,
we're
going to
do it. We're going to do a market update, and we'll continue to open lines. You could lower your mortgage rate without adding years to your loan. It's possible. Please. Smart. Rates are still incredibly low, and Janet Yellen, Aunt Janet, and the Fed have said rates are going to go up. Look, you need to call American Financing now. Schedule a free mortgage review. Salary-based mortgage consultants about, again, custom loan options. It really could mean up to $1,000 a month in monthly savings. I did this. There's no pressure, no upfront, no hidden fees. Simple conversation around how you could benefit from a mortgage refi. Lock into low rates now before they're gone. Pre-qualify in as quick as 10 minutes, but then you're underway. You're on paper. You're locked in, and it goes from there. Get it done. 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Online, AmericanFinancing.net. Again, these are our guys, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Open line straight ahead on a Wednesday, the 27th of October, 710 Kane, U.S. Denver's talk station. From Alpine Planning, Gabe's with us. And, hey, man, it snowed a lot up in the mountains. I need to tell you that. it's like, because it was,
a lot of videos of snow showers. Yes, I'm hoping some of the bigger resorts can open earlier, but we'll see what the Wild Service does with
that. Anyhow, watching the numbers, Gabe from Alpine, my boy, what do we got?
Starting off relatively flat, sir. Currently have the Dow down 6 points. The NASDAQ is up 78, and the S&P is up 5. This is coming. We're really getting to the meat of earnings season here. Some big names reporting. Ford, Bristol-Myers Squibb, General Motors, and I know a company near and dear to your heart, Harley-Davidson, is up over 6% this morning after they really blew through their earnings expectations for the third quarter and offered some good guidance for Q4. I think one big thing that's in the headlines, too, that our clients have been asking about, Pete, is taxes for next year. Mm-hmm. And I think that really needs to be put into two silos for our clients. What's going to happen on the corporate tax rate side and how that's going to affect the market, things like that. And then what happens on your personal tax side? I think a lot of the proposals that have been put forward by the Democrats mainly target the ultra wealthy in this country. An interesting proposal put out to tax unrealized gains. So we'll see if that gets some traction. But I think it's important as we go into the end of the year here for you or your advisor to get with your CPA, do a little tax planning for 2022. And control what you can control in that regard. So if you have some listeners that need some help with their plan, portfolio, cash flow plan, and have them give Alpine Planning Group a call, we are standing by.
One of the reasons Harley has done well is they're started building something called an adventure bike. And adventure bikes are just really great right now. They're the ones that have look like boxes on the sides instead of hard bags and a box on the back, and they're generally a taller bike, and they're done, you know, guys who go adventure riding, you know, and we're talking about an adventure trip next summer, a group of five or six of us, and looking at those bikes. I saw them up in Sturgis. We spent a lot of time talking and being with, and they're just called adventure bikes, and they're sold out, and it's the hottest bike Harley Davidson has made in a long time. So I think that's one of the indicators. This is a really fine young guy. Gabe's my guy. 303-843-0918. 303-84. Yes, sir.
Maybe you can finally get up to the Canadian Rockies, hit Banff on your adventure bike
We got knocked out of the box, but yes, cross country on a big motorcycle. I'm leaving now.
All right.
303-843-0918. And this is a fine young man, Gabe, standing by. Thanks, my boy. We'll do it tomorrow.
All right. Cheers, sir. Bye-bye.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
All right, morning, everybody. I don't know if we can squeeze a phone in here or not. 7:50, 10 before the hour, 710 KNUS, and Stefan this afternoon. It's going to be breezy and cooler today. It was cold last night, 63 tomorrow. I'm looking at Tricks or Treats, and it'll be Sunday. I was trying to say, why don't everybody do it on a Saturday? No, Sunday. It's going to be cold for Halloween, and we'll see what happens. The story that just started out this morning about the rattiest cities list drops, and Bill and I were goofing on it, tying it into the prairie dog movement. And, you know, and last night when I saw the story, I thought, no, this is a serious story. And then, of course, turn it over to us and we'll sport. But the rodent treatment, we had a fellow call the show, and a woman call the show, whose family is bought this house and it's just ratted out. And then I was talking about the rats I would see when and a kid working. And Orchid ranks metro regions by the number of new rodent treatments performed. I'll just read you how they do their, this is their methodology. From September 15th, 2020, September 15th, 2021, the ranking includes residential and commercial treatments. Number one, not surprising, Chicago. It's been there now for a while. Shy takes the top spot for the seventh consecutive time. So get this straight. It's now the murder capital, the rat capital, and they're going to give people a guaranteed income. You see how Democrats think. It's like beauty. L.A.'s two. New York is three. Washington, D.C., tons of rats. Fourth place. I'm surprised that's not one. San Fran, five. Baltimore, six. Philly, seven. Okay. Detroit, eight. Number nine, Denver, Colorado. And then Cleveland, Seattle, Minneapolis, Boston, Indy, Atlanta, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is only ranked the 16th rattiest city in America today. We're more ratty than Miami. We're more ratty than St. Louis, number 30. It's just, and the beat goes on. So what does that say? What does it mean? And how much of that is a function of what's happening to all these, those people experiencing homelessness, and that's why you got to kill 2B. Did I get that out? Let's get it out. So on the other side, remember Tom, the COVID patient? He called us from the hospital. We're going to check in with him. And I want to get a Tommy Mueller's been off now, so he's running the Christian FM. We'll get a hi to Tom as well. So you ready, Billy? Whoa. It goes on automatic. Okay. I've got 50 more seconds to kill. Don't take a call. Kill it. This is also from watching these things this morning. I love when you read it on the pages. Florida has the fastest job growth rate in the nation. Wonder why? When you see stuff like that, I wonder why. And Washington, D.C., watching Joe Biden and watching this Virginia story and then watching 2B here. All right, I've had enough. Why don't we do the turnaround now? Someone said to me, BMWs are better, last longer, get a real bike, Honda Valkyrie. Let's see how many iron butts you can do with us. Do a lot of them. Motorcycles are motorcycles. Love them all. Hang on, everybody on the other side. Stay here. 58 to high today, 710 KNUS. Hold on.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.